So we started yesterday, and the approach we're taking in the sugya of Yavar Yavar is to chip away at the Gemara and build up, hopefully, an overall outline and understanding of the topic. And what we saw yesterday was, obviously, the big three, that's better to Yavar Yavar, better to be killed than to violate. The big three being, of course, Shichas Dam and Gilir Ayas and Avodah Zarah. And we point out there was a Shita, Rabbi Yishmael, who argued in Avodah Zarah. Now, Avodah Zarah, actually, if they tell you to violate Avodah Zarah or to be killed, better that you stay alive because of the Chai Behem and violate Avodah Zarah instead. He raised the question, well, explicitly, the Gemara says explicitly in regards to Avodah Zarah, he says better to violate than to be killed. Open question about Shvichas Dam and Gilir Ayas, which are connected, would he also say violate those two Averas as well and to save your own life? Or no, those two are different. There's a difference. And he says, Machlokas and Tosos in Avodah Zarah versus Tosos here in Sanhedrin. And we're getting to some of the Svar, what was behind it. And we said that the Minchas Chinuch explains the Tosos here says that even though when it comes to Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yishmael prefers you to do the Avodah Zarah than to get killed, Shvichas Dam and Gilir Ayas, he thinks otherwise. He says it's actually better to get killed than to violate those two Averas. Why? Because the Svara of my Chazis applies. My Chazis tells me that two people are going to get killed. Who knows which life is more important? So therefore, better to be killed than to kill someone else. And that's the Svara of the Minchas Chinuch explaining Shitas Tosfos. We wanted to know, what's the opinion of the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, who thought that Yishmael thinks in all cases, every single mitzvah, but sinna, is better to violate those Averas than to get killed yourself. Doesn't he hold the Svara of my Chazis? We left that as the open question yesterday. We're going to analyze the sugi of my chazis in general, the way passing. How was the sugi of my chazis? What's the svara? And maybe at the end, I'm not sure. We'll see how it comes out. Maybe we could explain this to Rabbi Yishmael according to the Tosfos of Avodah Zarah. And that shouldn't be our goal because we don't pass on Rabbi Yishmael, and it just might be nice to understand him. Our real goal is to really appreciate the svara of my chazis because that's how we pass on like. And they're going to be number nafkamina. So we said yesterday there were two, three svaras as to the understanding of my chazis. What does my chazis mean? So Rashi tells us that my chazis means Mio dea shenafsho chavivel yotso yos mif nefesh chaver. Who knows whose nefesh is more chavivel to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe Reuben's is, maybe Shimon's is. We're no one to judge. It's impossible to judge. No one knows. And therefore, therefore you should not act upon anything and rather to be killed than to kill somebody else. That's the shita of Rashi. Yadarma says the concept is chaybem. The whole idea is chaybem is to live longer. So we don't know whose life is actually going to be longer. Maybe mine will, maybe his will, but who knows really? It's impossible for us to know who's going to live longer. Therefore, you can't make a decision of my chazus. And the third approach was the Yadarma's. Yadarma had a second approach, which is the third on our list, is that who knows? The whole idea of chaybem is to stay alive to perform mitzvahs. Now, who knows who's going to perform mitzvahs? Maybe Reuven, maybe Shimon. We don't really know. It's impossible to know. And therefore, your hands are tied. You can't act upon anything. And therefore, by chaz, it's better to be killed than to kill someone else and making the wrong decision. Those are three svaras. And we said there are two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is a trefa. A trefa who is not considered alive. So maybe that wouldn't be considered a nefesh, a lot of nefeshu perhaps. And therefore, maybe if it's you versus a trefa, better for you to kill the trefa and stay alive. Or if you're a trefa and the other guy is not, better for you to be killed, because a trefa is not a nefesh. But if it's about being performance of mitzvahs, although a chayim may not have halachically considered a nefesh, it's still possible he can perform mitzvahs, talis, tefillin, whatever the mitzvah might be, he could do mitzvahs that don't require so much tircha, and maybe the trefa will be mekayim more mitzvahs. So from that angle of the svar of the adamah, you wouldn't be able to make a decision between a trefa and a non-trefa. Another nafkamina says a katan. A katan is not chayim in mitzvahs. And maybe a gadol, of course, is. So if it's about mitzvahs, the gadol, obviously, right now at least, can perform more mitzvahs than the katan. But you could still say, well, really, although now the katan can't, eventually the katan's going to become a gadol, and eventually he'll perform more mitzvahs than the gadol, perhaps. So maybe you can neutralize it that way. Or we said, possible katan, although he's patur in mitzvahs, there might still be a kiyum when he performs mitzvahs. And therefore, it doesn't make him necessarily better than less than the gadol. But if it's the approach of who's going to live longer, or the approach of whose nefesh is more chaviv, so you never know. Maybe a katan's nefesh is more chaviv. Maybe who I would think he is. He's no averos. So, yeah. Yeah, so we'll get to that at the end. We'll get to that. Those shittas in the end. Very good. So those are the basic svaras we outlined yesterday. Now, it was an interesting Rambam. Hopefully, everyone got a chance to see. Very interesting. Hilchos Yisodei Torah, where he discusses all of these inyanim of Yag VaYavor. And Halacha Hey, he has an interesting case, which is based on a Tosefta. The case is as follows. Someone, a non-Jew, says, Tinu lachem, tinu lanu echam ikem, give us one of them. Menargenu, we're going to kill one of you. Vimlav, you don't give us anybody to kill. Naro kulcham, we're going to kill all 50 of you. What's the din? Yar kulcham, all you should be killed. Ve'al yimsu lohem, nefesh achas misrael. Better for you all to be killed than to hand over one Jew to the goyim to be killed. Vim yichaduhu lohem. Let's say they designate a particular person. They say, we want Reuven. Varmu tenu lanu ploni, o nara gets kulchem. Either give us Reuven, or I kill all of you. Em haya mechaya misa kishev ben bichri. If this individual they want, already is a death sentence. He's already going to be killed. Unclear whether it means killed by non-Jews already, the non-Jews want him already, or al pi halacha, base is going to kill him, one of those two. If he has a death sentence, so then you give him over, the guy. But if not, the person they want does not have a death sentence. You can't give him over, and it's better for all you to be killed than hand somebody over. That's the sheet that's around on based on the Tosefta. Now, it goes for Mach. Ramach, we don't have so many of him. I'm not sure how many he had, but there's a number of them throughout the Rambam. The Ramach is always challenging the Rambam. To me, it's always like the Kivagar's kashes on the Gemara is the Ramach's kashes on the Rambam. So whenever you have like a kashe of a Kivagar on the Gemara or a Shita, Rashi tells us, it's always a lum the Shita answer how to answer. The Kivagar was taking like one side of the Chakira, and to answer, you have to always take the opposite side. It's not always like that. Ramach always attacks the Rambam. He has a certain assumption, and it's usually the flip side of the Chakira is where the Rambam understands it. So what's Ramach's question? Ramach's question is as follows. His question is really in Tosefta, because Rambam is really quoting from the Tosefta. He says, okay, in a Hanami, there's a Tosefta that is the source for the Rambam's explanation of rather all 50 be killed than hand over one person. But what's the reason behind this? Isn't there the concept of Maichazis? So Maichazis means that we don't know whose blood is redder. But when it comes to 1 versus 50, pretty clear that the 50 people are even better than the one person. Isn't better to lose one life than lose 50 lives? That's the kasha, that's the tzarech in of the Ramach. And we want to figure out how exactly are we going to defend the Rambam from the kasha. What exactly is the assumption of the Ramach? What's he assuming about the understanding of Maichazis and what the Rambam going to explain for himself? So, first of all, it's just very interesting that I was talking to Rabbi Leibowitz about this, a topic he likes very much, is the issue of quality versus quantity. What's more important? Let's you have to make a decision. Is it better to have, let's say in learning. Let's talk about learning, for example. Is it better to cover more ground, to be keys, or is it better to have more in depth in the quality of learning?
Rambam says if it's stuck on.
Okay.
$1,000,
exactly. Another great example. It's better to give one shot or to disperse it little by little. Rambam Paskins, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, give little by little each day than to give in one shot. Now, each case is different. Stuck is not so much about the mammon, the money given over. It's not about the receiver. It might be more about the nosin, the person giving. You give one shot, you don't regulate yourself to do chesed. You give a little bit every day, you become a nosin, a giver. So each case you have to figure out there might be its own lumdish within that. So here in this case, what would you say the svar of Maichazis? What type of svar is that? It's about quality. Who's qualitatively a better nefesh, according to Rashi? Who qualitatively is going to live like longer?
Rashi is quantity.
Rashi?
Yeah.
No.
Everyone is chavit to Hashem. Everyone's really equal in terms of their quality.
No, Rashi clearly says we don't know who's. There are people who are more chavit. We just don't know who they are. He clearly is implying that there are nefashas which are more chaviv.
How does he imply that?
He says, who knows whose nefesh is better? Implying that there are nefashas that are better. We just don't know how to figure that out.
But according to Rashi, if there were two people versus one person, who would we choose?
Since
we don't know, we would choose a quantity.
Since we don't know. Maybe Rav Chaim's nefesh, Rav Chaim Kanefsky's nefesh, is maybe, probably, more chaviv than 50 stam yidin.
Since we don't know, and there's no way for us to know, as Rashi said, we don't know, then we're going to go with the quantity. That's why.
No, I wouldn't say we go, I would say we don't know. You can't decide.
So you let the one person, you let the...
Let's just backtrack for a second. So clearly, just I wanted to get that point. The clear svara is a qualitative svara. We don't know who's better. Who's a qualitatively better nefesh? We don't know who's going to live longer. We don't know who's going to have mekayim more mitzvahs. It's a qualitative decision. Which individual is going to be better? Now that being said, Ramach says, so if you would know who is qualitatively better, fine. We just don't know. But when they're 50 to 1, we obviously know 50 is better than 1. But there's a jump there. We're talking about quality. He's talking about quantity. I could taina that Rav Chaim is better qualitatively than 50 other Jews. So qualitatively, so I don't understand this, the kasha of Tzarech in Ramach. You hear what I'm saying? He assumes quantity will transform over to quality also.
But you don't understand the question of the Ramach?
Yeah.
Why?
The whole svara is a qualitative discussion. Who's better? So he's assuming that 50 are better than one person from a qualitative perspective. I'm saying maybe it's not necessarily true.
No,
we don't know.
No, but it doesn't matter, because even if that one person might be greater than all 50 of them, that person's going to die anyway. According to Ramach, that person's going to die anyway, because the other option is that they're all going to die. So it's either 50 of them lives and then one of them dies, or 51 of them die.
But that's not the svar of my chazus, though. That's not the svar of my chazus. That should be a different reason.
That's exactly Ramach's question. It's not the svar of my chazus.
No, he said because of my chazus, so in this case, we do know who's chazus. We know who's stomach tefei. We know whose blood is redder. The 50 is better than the 1. You're saying that no, just, it's either 50 or 51. It's either 1 or 50. The one guy is going to get killed either way. That's not his kasha. His kasha is, we do know in this case who's better. Maybe you're right. Maybe that is the kasha. Maybe you're right. He says there's no relevance to svar in this case. That svar doesn't play out. Oh, no, it's the same thing I was saying. I'm saying maybe the svar still does exist. As far as still, one guy might be better than the other 50.
No, he's not, because...
Saying since he's getting killed anyways,
anyway.
So he's getting neutralized, so that guy himself is going to get killed. It's not one versus one. It's not one against... This guy's getting killed, either way. Here. Okay. That's a good point. Okay. Fine, so either way, so that's the kasha of the Ramach. This guy's getting killed anyways, so who cares, rather just this one guy than him and all the other 50 people. So how's the Rambam going to defend himself? That's the our goal. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ramach, and he ends up saying, in the case of where they never designated a particular person, so you can't hand any one person over, because each face-off, I guess, between me or you, who's it going to be, me or you? So you could say, well, my chazus. You look at each individual. It's not according to Ramach. Ramach assumes you look at the overall 50 versus the one. And the Ram says, no, you have to look at one-on-ones to knock off. It's like a whole fight here. It's like a NCAA double-A tournament where it's like one versus one. Okay, who's better? Okay, then the guy's better. You knock off that guy. And he goes up to the next guy, the next guy, the next guy, the next guy. It's individually you look at each other. And since individually you can never neutralize the Svar of Mechazis. Each case, it's your hands are tied. You can't make a decision. But he says, according to that svara, if you're miyached a person, if you say, okay, this particular person, this individual, I want that individual, so there's no shot of my chazis anymore. They picked out an individual they want. So you should be able to hand him over to the guy. Because there's no question of my chazis anymore. They told you who they wanted. You're not. There's no face-off going on here. That's the kasha he has. So then the kesemish ends up saying that, you know what? The concept of Yag VaYavor for Shvichas Damim, it's really a Kabbal. Halach al Moshe Mesinai, we have a particular Mesorah that if someone puts a gun to your head and says, kill Reuben or I kill you, better that you be killed than kill Reuben. That's the Mesorah we have. The Chacham Chazal thought of a Svara to explain such a Kabbal. And the Svara, although it may not always be relevant, but the Svara, in most cases, it is relevant. when it's not relevant. We don't say throughout the whole concept. We still say there's a Kabbalah. You can't violate Ritzicha. Better you to be killed than violate Ritzicha. Even though the Svara is not relevant. So basically, the Kesef Mishnah tells us that the Svara is just a nice idea, but it's not the deciding factor. It's really just the Kabbalah. Every single case, you never hand anybody over. Regardless of the quality, regardless of the amount of people there are, you never violate Ritzicha. Now, John had a question. It's very strange, and I agree, it's a very strange Svara. The Gemara uses Svara multiple times throughout the Gemara, throughout Shas, it's mentioned. It doesn't sound like it's a really Kabbalah. The Gemara never says it's a Kabbalah anywhere. It sounds like it's a real Svara. So it's a very, very difficult answer of the Kesef Mishnah. Now, Meir is suggesting another explanation for the Rambam. Meir is suggesting that we're not looking so much at the result of how many people are getting killed. That's what the Ramach was looking at. Who, in the end, it's going to be one or 50 people, rather than one person. Meir suggests, if I understood you correctly, we don't want anybody to violate the Ma'is Ritzicha. By you handing a person over, giving him up, that's in essence, you're being Messiah, you're helping in the Isser of Shvichas Damim. You're right, in the end, if we don't, all 50 of us will be killed. Kadosh Baruch Hu would rather us not violate the Maisa Isser than and rather 50 be killed than one person violate the Maisa Shvichas Damim.
Why does the Rambam say later on that when they choose someone, if he's not, he doesn't have a Chiyuv Misa, then they still all die?
Choose someone. Oh, so that was Akasha asking also. So in the end, they can still decide whether to give him over or not. Even though they pick someone out, they still hand him over. They throw him outside the door. Okay, take this guy. They're still at pushing him over. It's less help because they decided to, but still they have that decision. We could either hand him over or not hand him over. Handing him over is still going to be misayeh, some sort of
shvichas damim. They still have a choice to die and not. Kill anyone.
Right. So this chiddush, again, it's a nice idea of Meir, is assuming that being misayeya b'shvichas damim, even though you're not doing the actual killing, but handing them over is still tantamount to shvichas damim to a certain extent. A nice idea. I didn't see anybody mention it. Now another svara is found in the Sfas Emes, similar to the Kesef Mishnah, but I think it answers the what we're bothered with in the Kesef Mishnah himself. The Sfas Emes and Yuma Daf Pei Beis. All the Achronim says also there's a in the Sefer Likutim in the back of the Rambam, of the Franco Rambam, that this Sefer Likutim, not the Maftach, it's a different thing. He also quotes such an idea from who's the Ben Ari, Hagos Ben Ari, I think it was. And the idea is as follows: originally, the Chacham thought of a svara behind Ritzicha, why you can't perform Shvichas Damim. But once we have the Hekesh to Namurasa, applying that Svara also to Namurasa, then the Hekesh of back to Namurasa looks back at Shvichas Damim and ends up being a Gezeres HaKasef. Again, the way everything started was Shvichas Damim was really a Svara. Through a Hekesh, we applied that concept to Namurasa. From the Hekesh, Namurusa, which doesn't, the Svar is not relevant to Namurusa, just the Din is relevant to Namurusa, the Din of Yag VaYabor. Once you have Namurusa, which goes back to make a Hekesh to Shvichas Damim, and removes the relevance of the Svar anymore. It's kind of like the logic we had in Bob Machter, it's like the Bob Bais and the guy, like the back and forth. He starts it, Bob Bais, and then Shvichas, back and forth. This too also is a similar type of idea. They bring a Gemara, which is, also has such a concept, exists. That's what's the Svar behind this. And then back from Namurusa to Shvichas Damim, saying the Svara no longer exists. It's simply a Gzeres HaKasef. What? Not a Kabbalah. The Svara is a good Svara. The Svara is a very good Svara. But once we learned it, we apply it to Namurusa. And Namurusa, we learn back to Shvichas Damim. It removes the relevance of the Svara. The Svara what started it, but no longer is irrelevant. The idea becomes a Gzeres HaKasef. It becomes like in stone, and even in cases where there's no svara, the svara is not relevant. Let's say this case of 50 versus 1. You would think the 50 better to leave 50 alive than one person. So still, you can never perform a tzicha. As opposed to the Kesef Mishnah saying, "Oh, it's a Kabbalah," and just the svara they thought of, but it's not always relevant. He said, "No, it was a good svara, but after the limudim back and forth, the svara becomes an irrelevant svara, and it becomes across the board. Categorically, we always have the concept of better to be killed than to kill other people, even if it means 50 people being killed as opposed to one. That's as far as Emes says, among others. So just at the end, he has an interesting idea here. He wants to raise the chakir. I'm just raising it because he talks about it here. What if you see two rodfim? See one rodef chasing after another person to kill him, and you see a second rodef chasing after a girl to rape her. You have two options, and you're not Superman. You can only make a decision to kill one of these rodfim. Is it better for you to knock out the rodef to murder, or the rodef to violate gilei ra'as? I'm not looking at the answer yet. What would you think? Yeah, why?
You see the light. And if you save someone from a raid, what are you saving? You're saving a
Fadam. Huh?
If you save someone from Shukadam, you're saving a life.
Right, so now I'll say it this way. Let's say you kill the Namurasa one. So you kill that Rodef. And there's also another guy you missed who's going to get killed. The Rotach is killing an Irtach, so two people are dead. If you kill the rodef for Ritzicha, you just kill the rodef for Ritzicha. The rodef for the one raping, no one's dead. There's a pagam, but this you've saved a life, basically. Right? I think that's what you're... I just said it in a different way to make it...
You said it in terms of the rodef, but I was saying in terms of the victim.
Right, but I think it's the same idea. I just said that opposite sides of the same coin, just presenting it that way. You see, hear that? Yeah? Did you say it again, Mary? Okay. Again, the case is there's a rodef for Tzicha and the rodef for Gilei Ra'as. The very same time. Who are you going to kill? So I think he says, I have to look at it again, I don't remember, I think this is the Svara, that better for you to kill the rodef for Tzicha. Why? Because if you were killed the rodef for Gilei Ra'as, so two people get killed. The rodef for Gilei Ra'as get killed, and the person you neglected who was being murdered, the murderer gets killed. So that's two people who get killed. If I take the other approach and I kill the rodef for Ritzicha, so the rodef for Rotzeach, I kill him. But no one else is killed. The other case, which I neglected to kill, the rodef after the rapist, so not Marusa, there's going to be a pagam there, but she's not going to be killed. So I've saved a life. I killed one person, still having two people killed. Lachor, that's good svar, yeah? So let's see what the Sfas Emes writes. That's the way he said. Okay, fine. Okay, so that's Mamash what he says. I saw it a few days ago. I just wasn't sure if that's what he said. Excellent. So that's as far as the Sfas Emes. Now, so what I want to do with all this? So this is very nice for understanding the Svaras of the Mai Chazas. Again, Mai Chazas, we have either it's really based in a real Svara, based on who's going to live longer, who's Nefesh and Morchaviv, the mitzvahs, according to the Sfas Emes, and the Kesef Mishnah, but I like the Sfas Emes better, there's no Svar here anymore. There's no nafkaminas. We're not figuring out whose nefesh is better, who has more mitzvahs, who's going to live longer. Across the board, there's never a nafkamina. Whenever there's a case of a tzicha, I don't care if it's a katan, I don't care if it's a trefa, it's us to perform Shvichas Damim. And now that being said, we can maybe understand Shita Rabbi Shmuel. How? Minchas Chinuch said the whole reason why Rabbi Shmuel would agree in a case of Ritzicha is because of my chazis. Even Rabbi Shmuel will hold of such a svara. You know, even though it's Bitsina, I still have to make the decision who's better, my life or his life. Because if the whole idea is a chaybem, that's the whole concept of a chaybem, to live. So if it's all v'chai b'hem, well maybe his life is v'chai b'hem more than my life in v'chai b'hem. But if you understand like the Sfas Emes, that the Sfar is no longer a relevant Sfar anymore. It's just Gzeres HaKasev. So then what you have is a chai b'hem concept, living, versus a concept of Ritzicha. So maybe he thinks the chai b'hem will trump this Gzeres HaKasev. And maybe that's what's behind Rabbi Shmuel saying that across the board he thinks v'chai b'hem always trumps every Avera. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to explain. So it's not 100% glot to me. Something seems to be a little bit off about it. Some food for thought. I didn't see anybody explain this shoot that anyway, so just food for thought. Now, there's an interesting Kovet Shirum. Melchon Vassarman in Psachim. Where's Oshei, I think? So he quotes the Svar of Rashi. Rashi's Svar is Nefesh. Who's Nefesh Merchav? Something we don't know. Even if he's a Gadol Shibbe Gadolim, and the other guy's a Katan Shibbe Katanim, we really never know. Even in Russia, Koz Manchel Yotzim Michla Misecha, a Russia who's at, there's certain Rishayim who've lost the ability to be within Klal Yisrael. Let's say the Russia who could still be considered Amisecha, could still be considered one of your, our friends. Even in Russia, we don't know a Russia up against the Gadol. There's no way for us to really, really know. He asks an interesting kasha. Kasha from a famous Mishnah at the end of Horios. Mishnah says, HaMekudosh Mechavero Kodol Mechavero. Anybody who's more Kadosh than his friend goes before him. On the list is a Kohen before a Levi and before Yisrael, a Talmid Chacham before an Amid Haaretz. You're supposed to, let's say the two of them are drowning, you're supposed to save the Talmid Chacham as opposed to the Amid Haaretz. So why don't we say my chazus? There. Why do we say my chazus? Do I really know Tanu Chacham is more chaviv to Kodesh Baruch Hu than the Am Haaretz? Tanu Chacham, he grew up in Bnei Brak and knows a lot more. This other guy was a Tinuk Shenishba, and he just didn't know anything, but he didn't grow up in the right environment. But maybe he's a real Tumim person, the big tzaddik in his own way. How do we really know? So he says as follows. What's the answer? Did anybody see this? Shabbos? There's a difference. The time of Mekudosh, depending who is more holy, that's a Shevi Altasa. I sit back and do nothing. As two people are drowning, I haven't caused the Amharis to drown. That's what's happening. So I make a decision to save the Talmud Chacham. That's not a problem at all. But here, when it comes to Ritzicha, I have to actually make a decision, a Kum V'aseh, and say, oh, I'm the Talmud Chacham, he's the Amharis. There, we don't say, Kum V'aseh, kill the Amharis. That's a difference of the two cases. One's a Shevi Altasa, the Gemara in Horios, of saving the life of someone drowning. That's a Shevi Altasa. There, we can make decisions. When it comes to Kum V'aseh, we can't start figuring out who's the Talmid Chacham, who's the Amharis. So that's going too far. Okay. Now, there's a Megillas Yam, which Jeremy pointed out in the beginning, which has an interesting line also. Megillas Yam, Dav Ein Dalad, Os Gimel, Os Chav Gimel, was it? Chav Aleph, okay. He quotes from a Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim is also brought in the Beis Yosef on the Torah. He says it's a greater avon, a much more grave sin, to kill a bachur, haroi laholid, a bachur who has the capability of procreating, mimisha harig zakin v'zakena, killing an elderly man or woman who can't have children, v'zisris, and someone, a younger guy who's not capable of having children. Sheinim olidim, better to... If you kill the bachur who has the capability of producing him, that's a greater sin. And therefore he says, Lefizeh, I'm not sure if it's the Chasefer Chasidim or Megillas Yam concluding from this. In this, such a case, if a guy says to bachur, a young bachur, kill the zakin, the weak zakin, or I kill you, you should actually kill the zakin. That's what he says, based on the Sefer Chasidim. And he says this actually flies in the face of the other shittas. He particularly chooses the Yad Ramah. He says the Yad Ramah says the whole idea is to stay around to do more mitzvahs. It's possible the Zakin will be do more mitzvahs than the Bachar. It's possible the Bachar may not live as long as the Zakin. Even though the Zakin is 95 and he's 13, you never know. Do we take into account statistics? I'm not sure. Didn't seem to be the case from the Rishonim. What? Well, also Sfas Emes would be against it. Also, Sfas Emes, we never take into account any Svara. So this again flies in the face of any of the Svaras we saw. It's a completely different Svara. We actually do take into account his concerns about life. He particularly wants to know the Chai Behem. Who's going to have the ability to produce more life? That's his, as opposed to Yad Ramah thought about who's going to live longer. The Sefer Chassidim is about who's going to produce more life. And that's this. That's already a fourth Svara.
Chai Behem is only by
Chai Behem, that's only for Chaybehem. No, Chaybehem, what we saw was for Avodah Zarah for Rabbi Yishmael. Forgetting the three mitzvahs, in general, if someone says violate Shabbos or get killed, violate Shabbos, because of Chaybehem. Chaybehem tells us in general we're supposed to live and not violate Yisroel. But then when it comes to the other Averos, which we say...
He's applying this to
Shvichas Damim. Yeah, because as Rashi said, we have to, it's a Rav Chaim about this, we'll get to next week or so. But why Shvichas Damim? Why is it override V'chaibem? Because Shvichas Damim is going against V'chaibem. Is my life better than his life? It's not a separate pasuk, it's internal. Well,
this is saying whoever, what's the
argument? So he's saying, according to Sefer Hasidim, it's the whole concern is, why can you kill someone in general? Because you never know who's going to have more life produced from him. It's all about, it's not about my individual life, it's about having children. Continuing Yiddishkeit, let's say. But in a case where one of them is old, too old to have children, or not capable of having children, and the other person is, so the person capable of having children would be docha, the person who's not able.
What would the case be if it was a man and a woman? Like either the man kills himself or he has to kill the lady. Who's more important?
That's actually very interesting shot, now that you're mentioning it. So, in terms of life and producing life, they both are, you know, that so it would be, and even it would be neutral. You wouldn't know. What? Ah, okay. In terms of mitzvahs, though, so you have to raise a question. Who's chayv more mitzvahs? Men. Women are much more pater. But just because women are pater mitzvahs, does that mean they're going to be mekayim less mitzvahs? Not necessarily true. A kohen is more chayuvim. Any kohenim here? Oh, no kohenim. No kohenim. Kohen is more, let's say the time is based in Mikdash. He has more mitzvahs. Does that mean he's going to perform more mitzvahs than a non-kohen? Not necessarily true. Interesting idea, but I didn't see anybody who addressed the question of man versus woman. And from as far as we've seen, I don't know if there is a reason to think that you should be docha the life of a woman versus the man.
Here, it's from Margulis Hayam about children.
But no, I think man and woman, both of them partake in the...
Right, so what would you, in that situation, I think that's...
Hands are tied. You can't make a decision. They both produce children. If, you know, only it's a case where one cannot have children, then you docha their nefesh for somebody else. But, so that's the svar of my chassis, and their number of communities, and maybe it connects back to the svar of Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael, just good to be aware of the opinion, not our concern, we don't pass it that way. My chassis, much more important to understand the svaras. We have a few minutes left, so let's just start the Gemara, just get our feet wet. Tomorrow's already Thursday, right? Selling God's giving shir tomorrow. I'll probably be part of the rotation now, the remainder of the year, giving shir on Thursdays. And then, so Sunday, we'll pick it up on Sunday. Everyone's around next week. Everyone's around for Pesach. And the Tuesday, Jeremy says, not here. I like to get a lot done Sunday, Monday, for Yag VaYavor to cover ground. We're going to have to probably pick it up after Pesach. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we'll do what we can. Wednesday, Red Lewis is giving, I think, shir on Haggadah from the Nesiv. And that's the last day of Yeshiva, I think. So let's begin the next few lines of the Gemara. Just two lines. Four lines from the bottom. Ki osir abdimi amar b'yochran. Lo shanu ela shalo b'shas gzeres malchus. The above mentioned that the only three cases you don't violate, rather be killed, is the big three. That all applies when there's not a gzeres malchus. Aval b'shas gzeres malchus. Afilu mitzvah kala yag v'yavor. When it comes to shas gzeres malchus, when there's this particular gzera, shas shmad, then even a mitzvah kala, we'll have to define what that means. Even a mitzvah kala, you're supposed to violate and give up your life, rather to give your life than to violate the mitzvah kala. Question is, what's different about shashmat? Why is shashmat anything changed? That's another question. How do you define shashmat? So those are two questions we're going to deal with. What is the reason? Why do things change during shashmat? And secondly, what is shashmat? So in terms of the reasons behind, may as well look at Rashi al-Hatar. Rashi, the last line says, "Va'afila mitzvah kala yargva yavor, shelo yargilu ha'ovde kochavim laharmich es halavavos lakach." Because we don't want the government to get used to, oh, you see, we tell them to stop doing Bris Milah, they stop doing Bris Milah, we'll tell them to stop doing Shabbos, and then Rosh Chodesh, and then Torah, and then everything. So we can't give in. Once it's Shas Shemad, whatever that is, we can't give in even to the smallest mitzvah. Because then it's going to lead open whole... Now, that's the svara of the Rashi. The Adarma, well, first the Gilyon Yashas, I'll just say because I'm trying to cover ground, the Gilyon Yashas of Yosef Engel quotes from a Tosefta and Shabbos. No, what's the reason why? Because there's going to be a great Kiddush Hashem. Shashmad, when they're trying to suffocate the Yidden, and they stay strong in their mitzvos, then it's going to produce an amazing kid as Hashem. That's what the Gilyon Esha says. And the third reason is brought in the Yadamah. Yadamah brings the first two reasons also. He says the reason the Rashi, he says the reason the Gilyon Eshas. The third reason he says, Oshalom Mizrach. What's going to happen? The Jews are going to start getting very weak in their eyes. Ah, you see, they tell us to stop doing this mitzvah of Shabbos, and then we'll stop doing the Torah, and we'll stop doing this and everything else. The Yidden themselves are going to fall. So the three svaras are as follows. One is that the Goyim are going to keep coming down hard, or the Jews themselves are going to become weak, or it's going to produce in a massive amount of kids Hashem. Those are three approaches.
Similar to Rashi. No?
Which one?
The last one. Yeah, the Jews are going to become weak. It's similar to the Goyim are becoming different.
Well, they're opposite. One's focused on the Goyim. Not opposite. One's focused on the Goyim. One's focused on the Jews. So.
But either way, the
Nafkamina. Here's the Nafkamina. Again, you guys should look at it on Sunday or tomorrow if you want. The Nafkamina is as follows. It's Iran. Iran says that what if, it's based in the Gemara and Amud Beis, we'll get to. What if the only reason why the Goyim are telling you to do something is for their own personal hana? They're not doing it to attack the Jews. There's no anti-Semitism. They have a particular hana. Let's say, it's a good thing, the Arnunya.
Okay,
right. Yeah, very good. Exactly. Very good. Very good. Yeah, exactly. So, Jeremy has a lot more background than all of us do here, but so the Lahanas Atzmo, that's exactly the Nafkamina, they're doing it for their own Hana. So let's think of a good example. Let's say Shechita. They banned Shechita. Why? They banned Shechita? That's because Shechita became a very expensive thing for the government to officiate and over. So they said no more Shechita anymore. Just shoot them in the head. So they're not doing it because they're anti-Semites. They're doing it because it's just beneficial for themselves. So what would you say in such a case for Lahanas Atma? It depends on the svara. Let's talk about, you thought they were the same. So let's say,
Rashi, they wouldn't get accustomed to it because they're just doing it for the benefit.
Exactly. So then, in such a case, Rashi would admit, okay, you could ban Shechita. If they say, we're going to kill you, or either ban Shechita or kill you, so better to ban Shechita. Because they're not doing it for spite. They're not doing it because they hate the Jews. If you really know that, it's truth. Rashi would allow you to violate the Isser of Shechita. But according to the Yadarma, which says Asa L'Misraf, they're going to end the thing, all mitzvahs are mitzvahs, they're bizoyim, we're not going to do any mitzvahs in their eyes. So then, even though they're not doing it for any anti-Semitic reasons, there is still, you should not give up Shechita. If they make an overall gezeira, no more Shechita, you have to stay strong. And better for you to be killed than to give up Shechita. And according to the other opinion of a Kiddush Hashem, so this wouldn't be a Kiddush Hashem either. Yeah, they're doing it because it's a spite, because of anti-Semitism, so then it would produce a Kiddush Hashem. They're doing it only for the own personal hanaf, economical reasons, that wouldn't necessarily produce a Kiddush Hashem. And this Kiddush Hashem is only in the face of someone trying to attack, undermine the Torah for spiteful reasons, I think. I think so. I mean, you could be right. It could still be a Kiddush Hashem, you're right. Okay, fine. I guess we covered ground. Maybe we finished the whole topic. We could do. There's 2 minutes left. In terms of the definition of what is considered shashmad, that's a machlokas. It seems to be a very small machlokas. The Rambam versus the Ritva. The Rambam defines a shashmad. Is this too much information? Am I going too fast? Is this good? Covering ground. I like to cover ground. Yeah, I don't want to overload either, though. Overloading is not good. So the Rambam writes in Perek Hev Hilchos Yisodei Torah Halacha Gimel. It says, V'chol ha'dvarim eilu shlo b'shas ha'shmad, av'al b'shas ha'shmad. What's shas ha'shmad? V'hu, kishayamod melech rosha kivunuchanetzar, a king like Nebuchadnezzar, v'chaverov and others like him, v'yigzar shmad al Yisrael. They make a shmad al Yisrael levatel dasam in order to uproot their whole Yiddishkeit, mitzvah min ha'mitzvah, or a particular mitzvah. So Rambam defines it as someone like Nebuchadnezzar, and a gzera that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So there are 3 points here in the Rambam. One is, has to be someone like Nebuchadnezzar, who had ruled over the entire world, basically. But if he's a melech that doesn't rule over the entire world, let's say it's a particular country, America, let's say France, whatever the country you pick, maybe this wouldn't be the case according to the Rambam. It has to be a melech like Nebuchadnezzar, he says. There's a diik, some say. At the same time, he says, has to be a gzera that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. If it's a ban, let's say it only applies to the spanning shechita in a place in Europe, that's not all of Klai Yisrael, so that wouldn't be considered Shashmat either. Also, from the Rambam, it sounds like they make a dig. The Lechem Mishnah makes a dig, and others as well. Let's say it's a ban, it's a gzera that applies to the entire world, not only Klai Yisrael, but to every single person in the world. That too wouldn't be a Shashmat. That's not an attack at Klai Yisrael. That's an attack at the entire world. That nobody's allowed to eat meat. So that's an attack on the entire world, not Klai Yisrael. So for the Rambam, the definition is it has to be a melech, which runs, owns the world, rules the world. It has to be only to Klai Yisrael and all Klai Yisrael. Those are three definitions you need for the Rambam. The Ritva is similar to the Rambam. He argues in one Nakuda. The Ritva, Sakim says, it doesn't have to dafka be in a melech, it could even be a shaltim. Some governor, it could be some governor. It doesn't have to be a melech who runs, owns the entire world. But he says it has to be to all Klai Yisrael. And only Klai Yisrael. If it's to the entire world, that doesn't work. So he agrees it has to be to only Klai Yisrael and all of Klai Yisrael. He just argues what type of king. The Rambam thinks it has to be a king who owns the entire world. And the Ritva thinks it doesn't have to even be a king. It could even be a governor. If some person makes a gzera to the entire Klai Yisrael, then that would also be considered Shas Shemar. Haman. Right? Okay, so I guess we'll stop here. And...